All right, we're going to, are we on live? All right, I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Finance Committee for the Town of Discovery Bay. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call's been taken, let the record show, all members are present, with Director Porter joining remotely.
And public comment, this is the time for public comment. Is there anybody online?
There are no one online.
No one online and nobody in the room, so we will close public comment. I'll move for approval of the minutes. Ashley, you want a second? We can't hear you.
Sorry, I second.
Okay, great, that motion has been made and carried. Any bi-monthly financial report? Who's handling that?
Margaret Moja will be presenting that.
Margaret, are you with us?
She is, she's just putting her...
Is she gonna be on video? Looky there, we got double video.
We'll be able to see her, but she won't be able to...
Hi, Margaret.
Hello. Sorry.
It's okay. We're working with an IT update, so you're not able to see us at this point.
Got it, okay, good to hear, yeah, so I wasn't attached at first, so. Anyways, I'm glad to be here and share with you the bi-monthly report that's through February here at our April 2nd meeting. So with that, am I able to just see the screen or should I bring it up separately so we're all on page together?
At this point, we don't know if you'll be able to see it, so Kelly's pulling it up.
We have it in our packet. We'll start with page D1.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we're all on page together.
You have it, Ashley?
Cool.
Okay.
You're on mute.
Go.
I have it. I have the PDF of it. And I can see your stuff, Margaret.
Okay, great. Beautiful.
That's weird.
We're back online. All right, awesome. Well, wonderful. All right, so again, as I mentioned, this is the update through February. Wanted to share with you that we are looking at some certain numbers here, and we'll go into a little bit more details. While water looks a little concerning, I will say that is because we haven't received our second sort of allotment of funds from the county. We do anticipate getting that here in the month of April, and so that certainly will change the revenue picture. So again, it doesn't look like we're doing very well, but it is a notion of certainly how dependent we are of those dollars that we received, that account charge through the county bill towards our finances. So with that, I'll go to the next slide, please. So again, wanted just to share with you the breakdown of our revenues. So our fixed charge here does show that we are trending slightly above budget. Again, it's based off of that account charge rate times the number of parcels that are charged. And so as you can see here, we do have a little bit more than what we anticipated at the start of the year. With that, our meter installation, again, that's a fixed charge of $8.01 that is on those bills. Again, that is a 10-year payback period of time, and so that will end in 2027, but for now, we see that here we're doing quite well. Certainly will be at budget by the end of the year. Interest income, again, trending well here. This is new for the district in that we're investing our funds, and so we can see that these funds being invested with California Class as well as our money market with Five Star is turning some revenues that's here. However, I will sort of notate that as we continue to use our funds towards projects rather than using debt outstanding, you'll start to see that this number will decline in future years. And that is just something to be mindful of. You know, we have the choice of sort of using our own funds or going out and getting debt, and again, a balance of both is an appropriate mix for the town to consider. Water sales, again, we're trending well here on water sales, and again, we will continue to monitor those sales throughout the period of time. Certainly, as we dig more into those sales, we can understand better where the trend is and what impacts may happen to us, and so certainly that information will be most important as we prepare for next year's budget, fiscal year 25-26. Meter charge, again, on target with that. And other, the big difference that you see there is, again, we are receiving funds from developers for when they are putting in a new home and they have to pay certain connection and capacity charges to us, and so those are the funds that you see there. We don't typically budget for those because we want those funds to go towards future capital projects and not be used for operations. So all told, you know, again, we're doing better than budget, 3.5 versus 3.3, and we will continue to, like I said, monitor that there. So let's move to expenses now. On expenses, you'll see here the expenses, 3.9 versus 3.7. So again, slightly higher on expenses compared to budget. The most notable ones, I will say, of the ones that are above our budget, and this is on a pro rata basis, is our utilities, as well as our costs for our system maintenance. So system maintenance usually is the pipelines, if you will. We've had a lot of pipe breaks earlier fiscal year, but also continuing to take care of our infrastructure needs. So those are two numbers that certainly a deeper dive into sort of what is an appropriate amount for us. Again, we have an aging infrastructure. We want to support that system so that, again, we can have reliable water for our customers. Other than that, most of the costs are sort of aligned to sort of where it is. Contract operations, we've had some costs go in there that had to do with our chemicals. Veolia has been taking over the purchase of those chemicals and use them in our facilities. And so those have been something that we will also be monitoring and adjusting for next year's budget. Next slide. Wastewater, a little simpler picture here, similar story, if you will. Fixed charge, again, this represents just the first 6 months, or the first payment that was received in November and December. Again, we're doing well here. Our sewer charge is certainly higher than that. Doing a little deeper dive to understand where is that a specific outlier or is that a new trend so that we can appropriately budget that for next year. Interest income and capacity charges are similar to what I mentioned over on water. So again, we don't typically budget for too much of the capacity fees. We've had a good turn on that. So again, you can see here, overall, our water revenues are 4.2 versus the 3.6. Next slide is on our expenses. Again, 4.2 is our expenses and 4.2 is our budget. So right on budget, of course, we have some variances within the line items. Most notably, we can see that our contract operations is slightly lower because, again, they not only pay for the time for Veolia to be out there, but also some pass-through costs. So some of those pass-through costs are lower than anticipated. Again, we'll monitor those costs going forward. And utilities also a little bit higher. Again, we will monitor that PG&E cost to figure out if that is just an anomaly as far as timing of usage, or if that is something trending upwards that we need to account for in next year's budget. Next slide. Now we go over to Zone 8. Zone 8, you can see here, 707,000 on our actual comparative budget of 615. Again, a couple things of note there. Property tax for six months, if you will, payment, if you will, coming in. And we'll continue to monitor that there. So we should have, you know, the full amount as expected showing up in our account by the end of the fiscal year. Community Center, this is our programs that we deliver to our community, either through the Community Center or through the pool. Those you can see here, we're trending a little bit lower, and that's, I think, is because we're at the low point of the period of time when it's here in February. But we should start to see the uptick as we approach to the warmer months here at the Town of Discovery Bay. The community center fee, similar to the connection and capacity charge, we get a fee for those that are those new developments that come through. And so those costs or those revenues are used to pay for future project costs over supporting our community center and our parks. And then interest, you can see right along the line there. So we're doing quite well there. And on the other, this includes some other things that we might anticipate, such as contributions and or advertising dollars. So nothing to date on that, but again, we'll monitor those going forward.
I need, next Margaret?
Slide. Yes.
I need to go back to the community center fee for a minute. Those are from connection fees?
So yes, as part of the new development, they pay a couple things to us. One is a capacity charge, one is a connection charge. They may also pay for a park enhancement fee as well as a community center fee. So there's also the water side that gets charged, the community center, the wastewater that gets its own source of revenues. But anything that the developer pays for the community center or the park enhancement fee gets set here within the Zone 8 budget. So that again, those dollars that come in can then help us support our community center and our park enhancement.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, here we are on expenses. Expenses, again, $273,000 versus $400,000 of budget. The main thing that you see there is just a reduction, if you will, or a lower actual than budget. We've had some unfilled positions, mostly sort of on the support side that is allocated to the community center that have been outstanding for a good portion of the year, and that's why you see such a decrease in that line item there. But again, we do account for, or plan to account for, those positions to be in place for next year. And so we don't necessarily see a reduction in that budget, just knowing that this is just a timing thing with those vacancies during this year. With the remainder of the costs there, again, they're fairly close there. Facility maintenance on community centers a little bit lower, but again, I think as we head into the warmer months, we will start to ensure that our pool is up and running and our community center is ready to go for all the summer activities that we have planned. Next slide, please. On this slide is the landscape portion of Zone 8. Again, similar as it relates to the salary there, again, we anticipate that those dollars will be appropriately managed, if you will, for next year. And the costs you can see here, facility maintenance costs are a little bit higher. Again, we've just had a very concerted effort this past year to really attend to those sort of deferred areas through those medium upgrades to the parks, whatever needed to be done to enhance the look and view, really adhering to the goals and vision of the board to make sure that we are putting the town in good view there. Other than that, again, we're overall, we are trending very well on our landscape portion when you compare actual to budget. Next slide here is on Zone 9. We've got our assessment income that has come in. Again, we'll get the next tranche of money here coming up in here in April with a final reminder for each of the ones that we received in county in June. So that's when we'll receive the bulk of the money is between now and the April, or between December and April is when we receive about 95% of our revenues, and the remaining 5% typically shows up in June. So that's true across Zone 9, Zone 8, as well as the water and wastewater. And again, the costs or revenues that you see here are fairly close to budget. So again, I think this is managing quite well here in Zone 9. And then finally, to the expense side of Zone 9, again, we see our expenses are less than budget. And again, when we look at that, some of the facility costs that we anticipate are have not occurred to date. Just speaking with the manager, we are anticipating to spend some of those dollars to continue to make some improvements around the Zone 9 area. And so we will be looking at those costs there. So with that, that takes me to the bulk of the sort of comparisons, if you will. Before I move on to the capital projects, just wanted to check in to see if there's any questions on the comparisons of budget to actual.
I don't have any.
Okay, then I will move on. So here on our capital projects, again, I'm just listing out what our capital projects are to date. We've had some costs for our administration building. As you know, we are in the process of looking at that design work and providing that additional information to the board. And I know there's some additional discussion at tonight's meeting on that. So again, progress is being made here. And this is the only cost that we've incurred to date towards that project. For the balance of the projects, CLS page here is all for the water-related projects. Will filter repair, actually is I should take off the word repair, it's not a repair, it's the whole new filter that was placed in, filter one, $1.9 million there. Well, eight work is underway with that project, and this is money that is both coming from bond proceeds as well as our own district funds to be able to pay for this project. Marine underwater crossing, I believe at this point it's near completion. Cathodic protection, that project is largely just cost being incurred by our engineering team. And then the solar project, this is for phase one of the project. This is the fee that was paid to Violetta, who's working with us to bring forth these projects to the town for anticipated energy savings into the future. On the next slide, we have some additional projects I wanted to share with you. We're starting to do some work here by February of Village Lift Station. And so those are just some costs by our engineering team on that one. We did have some completed projects here as it relates to some of our landscape, including Wild Drive, that's for Zone 9, and Clipper Drive. And so you can see those were each about $70,000. And then we did have a need to replace some heaters at our pool at the community center, and so that cost came in at just under $20,000.
Time out. How come we're putting in, we just had a new pool put in with all new machine, with all new equipment. Why are the heaters bad already? It's like 3 years ago or something, we put in all new heaters in.
Don't know if we put in new heaters or we put in new pumps.
Well, I know we put in new filters and pumps.
Yeah, that was new. I don't think the heaters were new.
Okay.
So.
And that was kind of done to talking to the manager, but yes, we can confirm. Any more questions on this slide?
No, thank you.
Okay. Next slide, please. Again, this is just to remind us of our outstanding debt that we have here for the town. And as a reminder, just at the top slide, you see December 1st, we pay our principal and interest. So that's when the larger payment goes out. And then by June 1st, we make the balance of the payment there. So again, these are fully budgeted within our budgets. And so we are planning to be able to do so. And you can see here we have about $33 million still outstanding of our debt. And you can see the final maturity there. Next slide, please. And then just my final slide here is just to talk about other things that we're doing just besides the day-to-day stuff. What we've completed this period is our annual bond disclosure. So with the bonds that we have outstanding on an annual basis, we need to submit to MSRB, and I just blanked on their acronym, that's what it stands for, but Rules Making Standards Board, I forgot what M stands for. Nonetheless, that's required for us by our bond documents to submit by the end of March, and so we did get that completed. The in progress, the five-year cost of service study, I know that's coming to the full board tonight with the next steps, if you will, in the process, so we're nearing completion on that particular item. We are beginning the preparation for our 25-26 budget. And again, I know we are slated to meet at the end of this month to go over that proposed budget. Again, not for adoption, but just review and comments, feedback, and we'll bring it back to the board in June. The classification of compensation study, I think you heard that mentioned at our board retreat just a couple weeks ago. So that's in progress. We should be nearing the classification portion, which is looking at job descriptions by June, and then they'll begin the compensation portion, and that will be completed by September. And then we are moving forward with our financial software implementation. That one has us moving forward where we will see some updates in the next couple of months of sort of internally of where we are as far as processes and how we're moving forward and decision points that are really critical for us to really maximize this software platform with a summer anticipated sort of go-live date that is anticipated that's here. So by the end of the calendar year, we hope to have all the modules, for the most part, implemented with, you know, some final sort of rollout of some of the minor modules by early part of next year. So with that, that takes me to the end of my report, but happy to add any additional comments or answer any questions.
I'm good. Nice report. Thank you.
I'm good as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That means it's my turn. We are now going to move to no updates. So we're going to, at this point, Dina, you're going to introduce Veolia again to us, and we are going to start with a presentation on the solar energy project.
That's right. So we have John Burdett, the Senior Program Development Manager of Sustainable Industries and Buildings from Veolia North America, and he is going to present to us the Phase 2 solar energy project.
Now I know why your name's so familiar. You used to do the Motel 6 commercials, right?
John Burdett. No, I'm John Burdett.
We'll keep the light on for you, right?
Yeah, John Burdett, yeah.
But was that for, I don't, it was close. It was, but it all of a sudden it reminded me of that. Anyway, welcome back, John. Good to have you here. Thanks for coming, and the floor is yours.
All right. Do we have a PowerPoint?
Yes, she's cute.
Okay, great.
Oh, that's right, that's Bodet. I remember
now. Bodet, there you go. All right, as mentioned, you can go to the next slide there. My name is John Burdett, for those of you who don't know me. And I help water districts and municipalities save money from the investor-owned utilities like PG&E. So I'd like to mention that our programs are supported by the State of California Department of General Services, the California Energy Commission, the U.S. Department of Energy, and even though PG&E says they support it, they really would love not to. next slide, please. So some of the challenges for local governments, as you saw in your budget reports, the utilities continue to escalate much faster than normal cost of living escalation. The utility grids are getting cut off for public safety power shutoffs and wildfire mitigation. Climate change has brought in some crazy weather that we're all dealing with. A lot of folks have limited resources, so how do you pay for any of these nifty ideas that we come up with? You obviously want to expand in the future and be as sustainable as possible. And I know you have limited resources here, so you're not always in the know on some of the rebates, incentives, and grants that are available. Next slide. So this is a data set that I pulled right from the CPI data website, and this shows the utility costs for PG&E territory, going all the way back into the 70s. And you can see that over the last 40 plus years, PG&E has raised their price on average by over 11% annually. That's shocking to some people. They do not realize that utilities go up that quickly. And in most of the country, they don't. But here in California, in the Pacific Gas and Electric District, they do. And you can see right at the tip there, right at the end, where the data set ends, it has gone up like a rocket. And that's when all the wildfire mitigation costs started hitting. All of the EV infrastructure for switching from gasoline to electric vehicles kicked in, so on and so forth. Next slide, please. So yeah, this was some data that the district had provided. And for phase two, we're gonna be focusing very heavily on what used to be the wastewater treatment plant one, which still has a large pumping facility there, and the wastewater treatment plant two, as well as the Newport water treatment plant. You can see, based on the historical costs there, which have already gone up significantly, over the 11%, if you do the math, you're spending $768,000 or more just on electricity. Next slide, please. So we went through this goal planning session and worked with staff and the district to come up with a number of items that were goals of the district. To increase resiliency, to reduce long-term cost savings through reduced electricity, gas, water, and sewers. Upgrade some antiquated equipment, like the HVAC here in the community center, which will be upgraded. To help you secure the grants, the rebates, and incentives that are available. To use a community center as an emergency response center for in the event of an emergency. And the list goes on. I won't read every single one of there for you. next, please. So where we're at in phase two is Veolia, and I was actually very happy to learn that our leadership is waiving the fee for phase two development due to the time constraints that we're up against. Rather than come in and try to negotiate a memorandum of understanding like last time, we felt it would be more beneficial for all parties to just move forward with the development. The development is worth about $160,000. That is 2% of the anticipated cost. And this phase two would be a little bit bigger than phase one, but we wanted to articulate that value. And we've already started the development of phase two. And the reason why we're moving so fast is because we have a new administration at the federal government that is not necessarily solar friendly. And a lot of the tax credits that are available today are under fire. So it's in our best interest to move forward with the development to secure these incentives before they go away.
Let me ask you a question at this point.
Yes, sir.
So phase one has some great incentives attached to it.
That's right.
Are those state or federal incentives?
They're both. So the incentive with the net energy metering program is kind of a state incentive that was put in place by the California Public Utility Commission, and then it's, you know, forced upon PG&E to support. So that's kind of why I made that comment earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're forced to support it.
Might be a hostile thing.
Can I ask a, sorry, Kevin.
Go ahead, Ashley.
When you're done, I want to ask a question.
Oh.
When I'm done?
Yeah, when you're done asking your question.
No, I'm trying to get a grasp of how much the federal government's, as opposed to the state government, because we know the state government is still on a mission that moving forward that would be sympathetic to solar and alternative energy sources. But if they're being, and we also know that they can resist federal pressure a lot too. That's why it's important to know how much of it's federal, because that we have no control over. If it's federal funds and they just say we're cutting it off, then they're cutting it off.
Right. So they.
Yeah. My question was going to be a follow up to yours. Like on the phase two, same question. How much of of that is anticipated to be federal and how much is anticipated to be state?
Yeah, we're anticipating about 25.5% of total cost to be federal.
Okay.
So 75% would be state?
What's
the state percentage?
The state percentage is quite a bit less.
The rest of it's us.
The rest of it is, okay, is through a financing vehicle?
Yeah.
Correct.
So basically, really what we're concerned about is a quarter of the entire costs are quote-unquote in jeopardy.
Could be.
Yeah.
Now, we monitor this
on
a daily basis, and 21 Republicans are holding strong for the Inflation Reduction Act. We get, like I said, daily reports from a service in Washington, D.C. And what's different, last time this happened too, when Republicans came into office, they tried to kill green energy initiatives, and they survived. The green energy initiatives survived. What's different in this case is that the new administration technically has control of the House, the Senate, and the judicial branch. So the only way they could change the law is through an act of Congress. So we're feeling really comfortable that they're going to be there, but we feel better if we secure them for you.
So the quote-unquote Inflationary Reduction Act, which I'm not going to get into, is law passed by Congress.
Correct.
It can't be undone by an executive order. It can't be undone by anything other than another either reduction or contradictory or defunct passage of legislation by the existing Congress.
That's right.
Does it have to be done by any more than a simple majority?
I do not know the answer to that, but I can give you the answer.
Pretty sure it doesn't. It probably isn't. Most everything in the House is. The Senate's the one that messes with different percentages. The House is pretty much either it is or it isn't.
Right.
So it's a very close margin, which is interesting. Okay, thank you for that information.
You're welcome. Director Porter, did you have any further questions?
No, not at this time.
Okay. So right now, getting back to our program here, we're in the preliminary analysis, and we have identified a number of energy conservation measures that could have a significant impact for the district. And typically, this is where we would come and ask for that development agreement to move forward. But we're just going to make sure that everybody's on board, and we're just going to keep plowing forward in order to give you those
good idea
incentives. Next slide, please. So for phase two at the wastewater treatment plant, we were directed by staff to locate the solar array in the most northern part of the property there, because this might become, from what I understand, a water treatment plant in the future. So what we'll do is minimize the impact for the solar. You can see there were some ponds there that we'll have to fill in with clean fill and grade, and then the solar would be ground mounted in the north area of that parcel.
Sorry, I'm just gonna use an analogy that would fit that. I was gonna say, without getting into the weeds, which is exactly what that whole area is right now. Have you talked to our staff? Have you agreed that that's an area that's not gonna be used for holding ponds or anything else that we've talked about?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I wanna make sure is you guys are communicating.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we
that's
also,
why I don't wanna get into the weeds.
You know, there's a block wall apparently along that road there that should mitigate any aesthetics to the ground mounted system, which will be installed much lower than obviously the parking lot shade structures will be.
That was our old research project, I think, right there. Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right.
Cal Berkeley.
Let's see, did I forget everything there? No? All right, next. This is the wastewater treatment plant 2. This is your largest energy user for the district. Currently running at about $580,000 annually in electric charges. We are investigating placing or installing the solar at the southern end of the property. We will have to do some detailed analysis, geotechnical study, maybe an environmental impact report, depending on what's out there. We're trying to get a hold of the current CEQA study that was done when the plant was built, because that encompassed the whole property, and technically the property's developed. And there could be some statutory and categorical exemptions to get us out of CEQA. That isn't a flood zone, so we might have to do some grading and some fill to bring the level of the land up. Now, what's interesting here is that I believe the state is asking for a fence around the whole property, or a significant portion of the property. If we quote, unquote, called the fence for solar, then you might be able to get that 25 to 30% federal incentive to help pay for that fence.
Even if we say it's for future and it's not in the works yet?
Well, yeah.
Or like it'd be like we just say, hey, this is the start of the project as we're putting the fence up?
Yeah, we'll just include the line item for fencing as part of the solar project.
Anthony, is that?
Yes.
When did that come about? I don't think I've heard about the fence.
It's part of our fence that we have to put up there?
Yeah.
It's part of the NPDES permit. We have to, it's a requirement. Yeah.
When did we find that out?
When we were getting the permit, yeah.
Huh?
No, well, officially February, the draft, we found out about it in November.
Okay, so this is a new recent thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Director Grace, I think we talked about it at the last finance meeting, that it was coming. We didn't have like numbers and stuff on it, but it was up and coming.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Next slide, please.
Just out of curiosity, when was that, how was that slide taken? Was that Google Earth or was that a drone?
Google, that was a Google. I've got a couple drones in here, though.
No, I only ask that because it shows the first ox ditch is being empty, which it is right now, and I'm wondering how recent Google takes its pictures, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Not that recent. That was just luck, I think.
Yeah, so with the Newport Water Treatment Plant, we're going to try to find a place for some solar. One idea was to put some posts along the fence line and raise the solar up over the tank, not the big tanks, but the two little white tanks in the southeast corner of the property. There's also some very old antiquated lighting out there that we can upgrade, as well as some heating, ventilation, and air conditioning equipment, which will reduce the energy consumption, which results in a smaller solar system that's required to cover that load.
What's our cost of electricity at that site?
We can back up a few slides to the cost line.
Oh, I can look it up right here. I got it right here.
Oh, okay.
$185,427.
Yes.
There you go. And that has actually gone up about 12%.
Sure.
Yeah. From because that was a 22 to 23 days.
The big tank in the middle, Dina, is our filter tank, like the one that we just put in over here, right? What are those two tanks that are at the bottom right-hand corner?
Filters.
Mm-hmm. What are those?
The white tanks are filters.
What's the big one in the center?
That is the backwash tank, and then the ground storage tanks are to the far west.
Okay, but there's a long white thing in
No, that's the old surge tank.
What is that?
It's an old air surge tank before VFDs that can be removed.
Okay, so the filters are down at the bottom there.
So they'd be under the panel.
Would there be any need to have access to those from the top?
What, the filters? Yes, the air tank? No.
But so how do we cover that up if you're going to need access to the top of it?
Well, these would be raised up like the parking lot shade structures.
I get that.
So we can make them 15 feet high if need be, so they can still have access.
Well, I'm getting... I'm sorry.
What he's asking is, how did they get this filter in since it's so large and remove the other filters? Did they roll them in? Did they?
No, I just.
So if it's going to be craned in, we might not.
I'm just concerned about a permanent structure being over something we may need access to. But that's something we can address down the road. Let's move forward.
Okay.
Hi, Ben.
Next slide. Here at the community center, there is a phase two scope of work. We assisted the district in applying for some EV charging grants that we should be hearing on soon. The applications are pending. We've also collaborated with the architect and engineering team that for the new building location, the new administration building, on where the solar would be located and the EV chargers. And then phase two will also include a backup generator for the community center, so this can be used as an emergency response center.
That is not in phase one, huh?
No, unfortunately, the California Energy Commission would not allow a generator to be financed through their energy efficiency.
So to keep it clean, we had to keep them separate.
That's right.
Gotcha.
Okay. So this here is just kind of an overview of all of the things that we'll be studying in this next development cycle. And we actually whittled this down. We had a big laundry list, and working with Anthony and staff, we took a bunch of things out and focused on what would give the district the biggest bang for the buck. We will also work with the district's municipal financial advisor. We have identified a funding vehicle through the iBank to fund phase two. However, I have seen municipal financial advisors pull rabbits out of a hat before and come in with something way more competitive. So we'll make sure that we're working with the MFA to make sure that everything is
accepted. Yeah, that's all that's important, because she has a very tight grasp on where our finances are. As you can see, she's done a really great job with making sure that we're getting things in a very proper order. I think the concern would be what other projects we have going currently that are more critical than this. I mean, we have some very critical projects coming up that need funding, and so you definitely need to work closely with staff to make sure that we're not overextending ourselves or putting not as important tasks in front of more important tasks.
Understood.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are multiple ways to finance this. Obviously, if you own it and finance it, you'll reap the most rewards in energy savings. If we bring in a man or someone else, a private company finances it, then they step on it.
And as everything else, the saving, you know, the longer you wait, the more expensive everything gets, and then the savings is less.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question? What's the approximate cost of phase two?
Well, the phase two, it's hard to say. It could be anywhere.
Even like a roundabout number?
Yeah, like $5 to $8 million, depending on what you guys decide to do. However, next slide. What we're targeting is the money that you already have in your budget to pay PG&E with. And that could be on the left side here, your operating costs. So we're not asking the district to come out of pocket with any capital expense. We're going to redirect the money you have in your budget for utilities, and we're going to invest it into these systems that will reduce your operating costs, pay for the debt, and provide savings. So you get savings.
Margaret, sorry. Margaret, what was our PG&E cost for last year?
Like $1.8 million. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's getting pretty expensive. I have to go back and look at the chart, but
over $1.5 million.
$8 million?
No. I mean, that $8 million is, of course, you know, the cost to and do this. Here, let me go back to my.
No. It's, I'm guessing it's between 1.5 and 2, but I may be wrong.
Right. And then it escalates every year.
Sure. I'm guessing it's between 1.5 and 2 million is what our current utility costs are. But that's just from experience, so I might be way off.
Right. And these solar systems last 30 years or more. The performance warranties now go to 30 years. So whatever you're spending, you can multiply that by 30, but then every year you'd have to add 12% as well for PG&E escalation. Next slide. All good questions. So this is an example of what a solar system will do, a 1 megawatt solar system here in PG&E's territory. The blue line represents PG&E raising their price at a 10% clip per year, which is historically below the 11.3 over the last 40 years.
That's over a 30-year term?
That is a 30-year term.
Okay.
So the blue represents what the district will pay in utilities if PG&E continues to raise their rates at the same clip. The orange represents if you buy the solar array and finance it with interest and operations and maintenance. You can see that you will fix your cost like a fixed mortgage payment. It won't go up anymore because it's a fixed loan to create that electricity here on site for your community. We'll also have battery storage, which will offer some resiliency as well. And then you can see once the debt is paid off, all you have is this tiny little O&M charge. And in year 20, there is some equipment, they're called inverters, that need to be replaced. So that's why there's that little pyramid spike.
Understood.
And then it goes back into the O&M costs again. So you can literally avoid almost...
What's the life expectancy of the panels?
SMUD had them running for 40 years before they decommissioned and just replaced them with higher efficiency panels. So they do degrade...
Technology changes so much over 40 years, who knows what's going to be available at that point?
Yeah, right. But as long as you make it through your finance period and generating savings, I'm sure there'll be more efficient solar panels. So in 30 to 40 years, you might want to reconsider replacing those.
Here.
What do we refresh my memory what our original time frame was to do the phase two? Because I know we've talked about it. I know we were going to do phase one. We were going to wait a couple of years to do phase two. Am I correct? Where was that falling into our timeline and projects originally?
Wait, is that a question for me or others?
I don't know.
I missed the question.
Yeah, if you know that, yes. If not, maybe.
What was the question?
Dina?
What was the timeline to start phase two?
Oh, I don't think I don't think there really is anything yet, Ashley. We're just kind of looking at this. It's kind of our first exposure to it. I imagine that Veolia is going to have some input into that with regards to what's available from a grant perspective or low-income loan, and that might help drive the decision. But at this point, we're just hearing about it.
Right. We're in the preliminary stages right now.
As I think, if I understood John correctly, as he explained at the beginning, they're moving along a little quicker than normal, only because of what they consider instability with the new administration.
Correct. We had planned on rolling into phase two development right after phase one. Construction of phase one will begin as soon as we get permits and permissions. And phase two, I can see
a done deal.
Coming into play in 2027 or 2028 being actually constructed. So it's a few years out, even though we're working on the development now.
Okay.
Next slide, please. So the funding solutions that we're proposing, and again, we'll work with your finance director and your municipal financial advisor, but the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank, has lower interest rates than typically what's available out in the marketplace. They issue state bonds for infrastructure projects. It may even be something you want to consider with your pipeline replacements and some of your other projects you have going on. And then the Inflation Reduction Act, which we talked about, the investment tax credit or grant that direct pays municipalities for putting in these carbon reduction type systems. So we help and assist the district in applying for these funds if we're chosen to do so. Next, please.
That's too hard to read. That's tough to read.
Yeah, okay, so that was a tough one, but those are your Inflation Reduction Act and federal funding real-time intelligence. So this is where things stand today as far as the tax credits. Now, I got to read my disclaimer here. Veolia is not a tax consulting professional.
Sure.
But this is what is published on the IRS website.
Yeah, that's a little tough.
But we can
beyond my comprehension at a short glance.
Yeah. Next slide, please. And then what we do, to refresh everyone's memory, our program guarantees the performance. So if we tell you where you're going to generate so much electricity at a certain cost, offset or savings, if Veolia falls short of that, then we actually have to write a check to make up the difference. So we guarantee the performance of these programs. And one of the ways that we do that is with our hub grade monitoring system, which will, in real time, be able to read the performance of those solar arrays and alarm us if anything goes wrong. We'll be highly motivated to diagnose and fix the system, or else we're going to be writing checks to the district.
Are there warranties on the panels?
Or of course.
Okay, could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, okay, so the warranties on the panels are usually a 12-year or 15-year workmanship warranty with a 25 to 30-year power production warranty. The inverters, which convert the direct current to the alternating current so we can use it in our buildings, those typically last about 15 to 20 years. And all of the systems that we propose, we buy the extended warranties, so they're for 20 years.
Who owns them? Us or you?
You.
Okay.
Yeah, you own everything. We operate and maintain it.
Okay.
And everything's under warranty.
Okay.
Good question.
That was we saw that at the first presentation, that hub.
You did?
Yes.
Right. So our intent would be to get that system in place. And that hub grade is very versatile. You can pull in.
So how does that guarantee work with this slide right here?
Which one there?
The budget neutral, the cash flow after installation.
Right. So what we'll do is we measure with a revenue grade meter how much electricity that solar array generates. And then we say, okay, if you had to buy that electricity, we go to the current rate structure for PG&E. And if you spend, generated a million kilowatt hours and it was 20 cents a kilowatt hour, then you do the simple math and that's how much savings you got.
Okay. All right, questions? Ashley, you have any questions?
I don't really have any questions. I think maybe a comment. I think it's great. I think I understand the trepidation of what the current political environment is. I guess my concern is, we're looking at some pretty major projects coming up that are infrastructure dependent, right? Like if we don't do those or we take the debt off of those, then that's affecting people's water and whether they can get that. So I guess the timing of it feels a little off to me. Right now, I'm not saying I don't think we should do phase two. I just feel like right now we have a lot on our plate financially from a debt perspective and major projects to manage. And this is one that, is important, but like you said, Kevin, kind of falls a little bit lower in importance to some of the other major projects that we're working on.
We're a little gun-shy at this point with some of the major capital improvements we have to be doing. And I appreciate and agree with what Director Porter's saying. I think that I would encourage him to move forward to give us hard numbers and see where things are. You're not asking for a commitment from us at this point, correct?
That's right.
So thank you for spending the time. Anyway, do you have more for your... You have a couple more pages, or is that it?
I think that was it. This might have been from the first.
That's from the first one, yeah.
First phase stuff.
I appreciate Veolia being proactive. Proactive is really important for a small district. It was very difficult for us to be proactive for a long time. We're trying to get in that mindset of being proactive. So this is a very proactive presentation or proactive project. We appreciate that, and we're always willing to listen to what you guys put together, and we'd like to see how your assessment goes, because you're still in the assessment.
That's right.
State.
So two comments. You know, if utilities continue to rise, and you know, in 30 years, you got to pay $40 million for the electric bill.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you're going to have to raise rates quite a bit. And so, my second comment would be, as I mentioned, there's other ways to finance this. So it's not going to hurt your credit capacity if that's what you're worried about. And still generate savings. It won't be as much savings, but it'll still generate savings.
I think you nailed it. I mean, we are concerned about our credit capacity, and we're concerned the ability for us to go out and get future bonds if we need to, if we have too much. So that's something you need to take into consideration as you put together your evaluation.
Will do.
Because that will be something that the Finance Committee is definitely going to look at, as well as the rest of the board. Correct?
Yeah, they will.
Okay.
At some point, right?
So, John, is that it for you?
That's it.
I appreciate that, and hang tight, and we
get
to do it again.
Thank you.
You'll have less questions the second time you're around. Ashley, I think, I'm sorry, hold on a second. Okay, I think at this point I'll adjourn the meeting.